All right, so we're diving into some interesting territory today with this case, Mayville v. Mayville out of the Vermont Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating one.
Yeah, and you know what strikes me is it's all about trying to figure out, how courts handle this whole spousal maintenance thing when life throws those unexpected curveballs. Specifically, we're looking at job loss and pensions and how those play into the equation.
Yeah, because those are two major financial components that can really shift the landscape post-divorce.
Right, exactly. So our deep dive today is, it's about untangling those key legal principles that come into play here,
Absolutely.
particularly that whole like double dipping concept,
Yeah.
which always gets a little murky,
Yeah.
and how a court kind of views changes in someone's income, after a divorce is finalized.
Right, because it's not always a static picture. Things change. People's circumstances change.
Exactly. So we'll kind of walk through the facts of the case, the court's reasoning, and most importantly, like, what are the practical takeaways here? For anyone who might be going through something similar or just wants to understand this whole area of law better.
Yeah, because I think what's so interesting from like a legal perspective is, you see the court constantly doing this balancing act.
Right.
They're trying to look back at, the economic partnership, that was the marriage, when they're dividing up property. But they also got to look forward to the individual, like financial realities and capacities of each person, once they're divorced.
It's like, yeah, you have the past,
Right.
you have the present, and then like, what are you actually capable of
Exact.
earning? Like,
Right.
it's not just about what you did earn. It's like,
Yeah.
what can you earn and what do you need to earn
Yeah.
to be okay?
Okay, so let's get into the specifics of Mayville v. Mayville. So William and Judy Mayville, they were married for quite a while, 27 years,
Okay.
before they finally got divorced back in 2003.
During their marriage, William was the primary breadwinner, bringing in about $100,000 a year, which, is a pretty decent income.
Yeah.
Judy, unfortunately, was disabled and couldn't work.
Okay.
So, as part of their divorce agreement, they agreed to a 50-50 split of William's pension.
Okay, makes sense.
Pretty standard, for a
Yeah.
long-term marriage like that.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you have that disparity in earning capacity,
Right.
you want to make sure that both parties are, taken care of to the best of their ability.
Exactly. And on top of that split, William was also ordered to pay Judy $3,000 a month in spousal maintenance.
Okay.
And that was supposed to continue until he reached the age of 65.
Gotcha.
So, on the surface, it seems like a pretty, typical
Standard.
standard arrangement.
Yeah.
You see this kind of thing a lot.
Yeah. I mean, in cases like this, where you have a long marriage, you have a big difference in earning capacity. Spousal maintenance is often deemed necessary to allow the spouse who's been, economically disadvantaged, during the marriage to maintain a standard of living.
Yeah, some semblance of, the life they were accustomed to.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so we've got this agreement in place. Things seem to be, moving along. And then bam, 6 years later, 2009, life throws William a major curveball.
Oh boy.
He loses his job.
Wow.
And this wasn't, he'd been with IBM for like 4 decades.
Wow.
So this
Well,
wasn't like he just up and quit or anything. It
right.
was a legitimate job loss.
Yeah.
So he gets a 6-month severance package,
Okay.
which, keeps his income steady for a bit. But then he decides, you know what? I'm 59. I'm going to retire early.
Okay.
So now you've got this like significant and unanticipated change, in his employment status,
Yeah.
which of course has a huge impact on his finances.
Huge, yeah.
So naturally he goes back to the court and says, hey, look, can we either stop these spousal maintenance payments altogether,
Right.
or at least can we like, significantly reduce them? His argument was basically, losing my job was a real substantial and unanticipated change in circumstances.
Yeah.
And, that's that legal term that allows the court to, revisit these maintenance orders.
Right, exactly. And that's what you have to prove to the court is that something happened that was outside of your control, unforeseen at the time of the original order, that is now significantly impacting your financial situation.
And it's not just job loss,
Yeah.
right? There are like other things that could fall under that umbrella.
Absolutely.
What
Yeah.
are some other
So
examples?
you could have, significant illness or disability that affects either party's ability to work. You could have a major unexpected financial windfall for the receiving spouse.
Interesting.
Or even, sometimes a substantial decrease in the recipient's needs could potentially qualify
So it can go both ways.
It can go both ways, exactly. The key is it's got to be something you didn't see coming. When you made that initial divorce agreement, and it's got to really change the financial game.
Gotcha. So it's back to the trial court.
Okay.
For William. And they don't completely side with him.
Right.
They acknowledge, okay, yeah, he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
But they also point out that during those 6 months of severance, his income actually stayed the same.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're like, yep. You still got to pay the full $3,000 a month.
Okay.
During that time.
Yeah.
However, once that severance runs out, they say, okay, yeah, now we're talking about a significant change.
Right.
So they agreed to reduce his monthly payments down to $1,500.
Okay.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
In making that decision, they factor in the income that William's now getting from his share of the pension.
And that's where it starts to get a little sticky, right?
Exactly. And that's where it gets really interesting for, you know, someone studying this case.
Mm-hmm.
Because William is not happy with this decision.
Of course.
He appeals it all the way up to the Vermont Supreme Court. His main argument is, wait a minute, the court's counting my pension income to figure out how much spousal support I should pay. But Judy already got her 50% of that same pension in the divorce settlement.
Exactly.
So to him, this feels like, hey, I'm getting hit twice here. This is double dipping.
Yeah, that's a common argument.
And it's understandable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking at it and saying, I already gave up half of this asset.
Right.
Now you're using the income from my half to say I have to pay even more.
Exactly.
It does feel a little like, you know, a double whammy.
So how does the court deal with that legally? Because it does, you know, at first glance, it kind of feels unfair.
Yeah. The term double dipping, it definitely has that negative connotation, right? Like someone's getting an unfair advantage somehow.
Right, right.
And it comes up a lot in these cases, you know, when you're talking about dividing retirement assets and then also figuring out spousal maintenance.
So how did they address it?
So the Vermont Supreme Court, and this is in line with a lot of other courts.
Okay.
They drew a really important legal distinction.
Okay.
They emphasized the difference between property division, which is about, you know, fairly splitting up those assets you built during the marriage.
Like the house, the cars, the pen.
Exactly, like that pension itself.
Mm-hmm.
Versus spousal maintenance, which is about ongoing financial support.
Okay.
Based on the current income and needs of the spouse who's receiving that support.
Gotcha. So the pension itself is the marital property, splitting that 50-50. That's saying, hey, we both contributed to this over the years. Let's divide it fairly.
Right. It's like taking that pie and cutting it in half. You each get your slice.
Right. Exactly. And the court actually used a similar analogy. You know, they said, think of it like splitting the cake, which is the pension as property,
mm-hmm.
versus sharing the frosting, which is the income that comes from that cake.
Right.
Right. So Judy got her piece of the cake.
Yeah.
But the frosting on William's piece,
mm-hmm.
that income he's getting from his share.
Yeah. That's still part of his current financial picture.
Exactly.
And therefore, it's fair game when you're trying to figure out, you know, his ability to pay maintenance.
And what's legally important here is the court really saying these are separate concepts
mm-hmm.
with different goals. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Dividing the property that's looking backward at the marriage.
Right.
But spousal maintenance
mm-hmm.
that's looking forward at what's going on financially with each person now that they're divorced.
So it's not just because you split something.
Right.
That the income from it's automatically off the table.
Exactly. The main focus for spousal support is on the here and now.
Yeah.
What are your finances like now? And what are your earning capacities going forward?
Okay. So that makes total sense. Now, the court did acknowledge that William losing his job
mm-hmm.
was absolutely an unanticipated change in circumstance.
Yeah, after 40 years at IBM.
Like, who could have predicted that?
Right.
Right. But they didn't just stop there.
Yeah.
They really dug into the specifics of his financial situation in 2009.
And remember, because of that severance package,
right,
his income actually went up that year.
Okay, yeah.
The real hit came later
mm-hmm.
when those payments stopped.
Yeah.
And he was relying just on his retirement.
Yeah.
And whatever he could potentially earn.
Right.
And this brings us to another really important point that the court made.
Yeah.
Which is this idea of earning capacity.
Earning capacity, yeah.
So it's not just, are you working?
Mm-hmm.
It's, could you be working?
Right. And are you choosing not to?
Exactly. Do they ever consider, like, someone's age or health limitations
Absolutely.
That maybe don't rise to the level of disability
Yeah.
or even like the job market in their field.
All of that factors in.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're going to look at age, education skills, work history, and what kind of jobs are out there in your field.
So for William, they probably looked at the fact that he was 59.
Right.
And that he had been with one company for so long.
Yeah.
And that probably played a role in how they viewed his earning capacity.
Right. Like, how realistic is it that he could go out and find a comparable job?
Exactly. But also the fact that he chose to retire.
Right.
Instead of looking for a new job, that was a big factor, too.
It shows that there was a choice made there.
Yeah, the court made it very clear that just because you decide to retire doesn't mean your financial obligations just vanish.
Right, and that's a big takeaway for anyone who's thinking about maybe, you know, scaling back their work or retiring after a divorce.
Right.
The court's going to look at what you're capable of earning.
Yeah, they're not just looking at your current bank statement.
They're going to dig deeper.
They're saying, hey, based on your background and the job market out there, what could you be making?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a huge point. Now, there was another wrinkle in this case.
Okay.
William had remarried.
Right.
And that always adds a layer of complexity, right?
Yeah, it can get a little messy.
Because now you've got another person's finances involved.
Right.
So the courts specifically said that his new wife's income could not be directly counted against him.
Okay.
So you can't impute her income to him to make it seem like he has more money
Gotcha.
Than he actually does
Right.
to justify lowering his payments even further.
That makes sense. You don't want to punish the new spouse
Right.
for the previous marriage's obligations.
Exactly. Each person is responsible for their own
Right.
financial stuff from a prior marriage.
Yeah.
But, and this is where it gets nuanced,
Yeah.
the court did acknowledge that her contributions to their shared household expenses did indirectly affect William's financial situation.
Right, because if she's helping with the mortgage and the bills,
Right.
that frees up more of his income.
Exactly. So while they're not saying because your new wife makes X amount of money, you can pay less,
Yeah.
they are recognizing that if she's contributing to the costs of living, that gives him more breathing room financially.
Right.
So it's really about looking at the whole picture, the totality of the circumstance.
Exactly. And it's a practical consideration. Right. Yeah.
Your expenses go down when you're sharing them with someone. So the court's acknowledging that reality.
Right. And they're not like taking money from the new spouse.
Right.
They're just recognizing that the financial situation has shifted.
Exactly.
Now, there's another thing I found really interesting about this Mayville case.
Yeah.
The trial court didn't just immediately reduce the payments to $1,500.
Okay.
They actually set it up so that the reduction would kick in after William's unemployment benefits ran out.
Oh, wow. So they were thinking ahead.
They were thinking ahead. They were like, okay, we know this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's just plan for it now.
That's smart. That saves everyone a lot of hassle.
Exactly. And the Vermont Supreme Court actually praised this approach.
Oh, good.
They said, hey, this is a good way to handle things.
Yeah.
You're addressing a future financial change that's pretty much guaranteed to happen.
Right.
Without having to speculate or guess.
It's very practical. It is. And it shows that the court's trying to find a solution that's fair, not just in the present moment.
Yeah.
But also takes into account, you know, what's coming down the road.
And avoids, you know, further litigation.
Right. Because nobody wants to be back in court.
Exactly.
Every other month arguing about, you know, tiny changes in income.
Yeah. It's stressful. It's expensive. It's time consuming.
So it seems like they're trying to create some stability.
Yeah.
And predictability for both parties.
Exactly.
So let's wrap this up. What are the, like, the big takeaways from Mayville v. Mayville?
All right. So key lessons here.
Yeah. What should people really remember?
Number one, don't assume that just because you split an asset in the divorce.
Like a pension.
Like a pension, yeah. That the income you get from it is automatically off limits.
Right.
When the court's figuring out spousal maintenance.
Income is income.
Income is income exactly where it comes from doesn't really matter.
Okay, number two, and this is a biggie.
Yeah.
Courts aren't just going to look at your current paycheck. They're going to dig deeper. They're going to look at your earning capacity.
Yeah. They're going to say, what are you capable of earning?
Yeah. Based on your skills,
yeah,
your experience, the job market.
Exactly. And if you're voluntarily making less money.
Right.
They're going to take that into consideration.
So if you're thinking of switching to a lower paying job or retiring early, think carefully about how that might affect your spousal support obligations.
Yeah, because the court might say, hey, you could be making more.
Right, exactly. And lastly, courts can and sometimes will adjust those spousal maintenance orders mm-hmm. to account for changes that are pretty much guaranteed to happen in the future.
Right.
Like when a severance package runs out.
Yeah.
Or unemployment benefits end.
They're trying to be proactive.
They are, which is good. It creates less headaches for everyone down the line.
Absolutely.
So this Mayville case, it really shows us that spousal maintenance isn't just this fixed thing set in stone at the divorce.
It can change.
It can change. Things happen.
Right.
Life throws curveballs.
Exactly. And the court has the power to modify those orders based on real, substantial, and unanticipated changes in circumstances.
And they're going to look at everything. They're going to look at the financial reality of both people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at earning potential.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to find a solution that's fair to everyone.
A solution that's fair and that's practical for the long haul.
Exactly. So this case, it's like a crash course in the complexities of spousal maintenance.
It really is.
You see the balancing act the court has to do, trying to be fair to both sides.
Right.
While recognizing that life is unpredictable.
Yeah. And you know, this case really gets you thinking, right?
It does. It does.
Like, how would these principles play out in other situations?
Right. What if the change in income wasn't about job loss or retirement?
Yeah. What if it was something like a major illness that doesn't quite reach the level of disability?
Or downturn in a specific industry.
Right. Where it's just impossible to find a similar job.
Yeah. Exactly. Those are the kind of questions that'll really make you think.
Yeah.
As you keep studying family law.
Definitely a lot to ponder.
A lot to ponder.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a great deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
I always learn something new.
Yeah. Me too.
Fair.
To our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.